Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. This wonderful day, we are in the house of the Lord again, and we give you the praise and give you the glory. Can somebody say amen? Come on, somebody say amen to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for all of your wonderful blessings. And we thank you this Mother's Day for all the wonderful mothers that are in our lives and all the great things, the blessings that we have experienced in our lives through these mothers. And your blessings to every one of us. And as we're in the house of the Lord this morning, we're about to go into your word. And we thank you, Lord, as always, that you will glorify yourself in the message of the Lord. And Lord, we know that you will bring a blessing. A word fitly spoken, the Bible says. It's like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Oh, so let it be this morning, Lord. Let that word inspire our hearts this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now this morning, a short message. The God that answered by fire. Amen. Oh yeah, that's why we sang that song, you know. Maybe we might do it again at the end. You know, the God that answered. You know, I had this message marked down, you know, for several months. I wanted to do it. And but I didn't get a chance. But as so I was preaching last Sunday, which, you know, I didn't intend to at all. You know, the Lord brought some of that as a preview. So I said, well, you know, so afterwards I prayed about it. And I said, well, maybe I should just do that message. You know, and I prayed and I saw the Lord, you know, I saw the Lord and he said, yeah, that's all right. Go ahead. You know, so this message this morning, the God that answered by fire. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, you know, I know that people love to hear good stories, you know, so far when it comes to church. Well, you know, I don't like to tell stories when I preach, you know, except it's a story from the Bible. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Well, I will tell a story this morning because it's from the Bible, you know, so it'll be nice, you know, so you sit back and enjoy it and so forth like that. You know, we're going to start here in the book of 1 Kings. Hallelujah. And chapter 18 is where we're going to start. 1 Kings. Chapter 18 is where we're going to start. Now, the prelude to this story, Elijah, when he appeared in the 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. We don't know very much about this Elijah. All we know that he was a Tishba. He was a rough, you know, looking figure. But, you know, he loved to hang out, you know, in desert places and so forth like that. But more importantly, he loved to stand in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So the first introduction we have, he came up and he said, you know, right here in 1 Kings chapter 17. First thing he, you know, said, he said, Elijah the Tishbite. He came and said to Ahab, of course Ahab was one of those wicked, wicked kings of Israel. You know, and as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Now take notice of that. Before whom I stand. So, you know, he had been in the presence of the Lord and he heard from the Lord. And so he called for a famine and so forth, you know, for several years, you know. And finally, you know, after about 3 years, the word of the Lord came to him again in chapter 18. He said, and it came to pass, chapter 18 and verse 1, after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the third year. So the famine went on for 3 years. And finally the Lord, now there's a lot of things that happened between those 3 years, but that's not my subject this morning, so I'm just skipping that. And so the Lord told him, go show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. You know, so the Lord already told him the rain was coming. You know, praise God. Can somebody say praise God? Now, a lot of people don't know that. They think it was just Elijah that called the rain back. No, the Lord already told him it was time to bring the rain back. You know, so he said, well, all right, now I'm going to go show myself to Ahab. So he went, you know, and there's a lot of things that happened, you know, that I'm going to skip, you know, to keep this message short, you know, but the part that I want to be interested in here, you know, we're going to start at verse 17. You know, so Ahab, you know, is the king of Israel at this time. Elijah is a prophet. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You know, and he answered, oh no, I have not troubled Israel at all. It is you and your father's house that have troubled Israel, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and now has followed after Baal, or Balaam. You know, and you know, so when it, so you can see right away from this verse that if you forsake the word of the Lord, that's going to trouble your house. Can somebody say amen? Oh, that's right. You know, the only way that you're going to have peace in your house is to follow the word of God. And we're going to find out as we go into this message today. So, you know, they forsook the Lord, you know, they forsook the commandments of the Lord, and they carved out to themselves this god of wood and stone and so forth like that. And that's what they were serving. And Elijah, he came, and he's going to throw out a challenge here this morning, you know. So he said unto them, now therefore, send, verse 19, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. Now this is the Mount Carmel showdown. It's fixing to happen right here. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Oh yes. Bring me the prophets of Baal, 450 of them. And then there's 400 more of the prophets of the group that eat at Jezebel's table. Bring all of them to me and meet me in Mount Carmel. Oh yes, sir. And let's find out, sir, what the Lord is going to show. So Ahab sent, of course Ahab was already scared, you know. So he sent, you know, unto all of the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together. Now the one way that you get their attention is you call for a drought for 3.5 years. Amen? Oh yeah, they might not have listened to him before, but he called for a drought. And they said, well, you know, this man has brought the drought because he said, as the Lord liveth, you know, there will be no rain this year except by my word. Yeah. And they said, well, this man's upon the scene again. Maybe he'll bring back the rain. So they're going to listen to him. So he got their attention. Can somebody say amen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he said, gather me all those prophets, 450 of them, you know, prophets of Baal. And all the other prophets that eat at Jezebel's table, bring all of them and meet me at Mount Carmel. You know, and Elijah came unto all the people and said to them, now here's what Elijah said to the people, you know, when the children of Israel got together, he said, how long shall ye halt between two opinions? Amen?
Amen.
See? How long? If the Lord, that's Yahweh.
Yeah.
If he be Elohim, if he be God, then, you know, let him be God. And so, but if it is this Baal that you guys have carved up for yourself, you know, and all these things that you're doing, if that's the God, then let's know that that's the God. Let's not have two gods here. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's just choose one, you know. Praise God. And Elijah, of course, he already been in the presence of the Lord. He knew what the Lord was going to do, you know. So he challenged them. And then when they came, you heard part of this as a preview last week if you were in the service, you know. And then when they came, here's what he did. Here's what he told them. And Elijah said to them, you know, don't hold between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if it be Baal, then let's follow him as well. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord today. But there, Baal has 450 prophets. Now, so this man is going to go up against 450 men. Plus, you know, some on the side too. You know. So, now he said, here's what I want you to do. Let them give us two bullocks. Now, of course, Elijah, he knew the word of the Lord about using a bullock for as an offering for sin. He knew that, you know. He said, let them give us two bullocks, sir. And let them choose one, those prophets, let them choose one for themselves and cut it to pieces and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other and lay it on the wood as well and we'll put no fire on it. Before I go on, turn with me to Exodus. But put your hand right here in 1 Kings, so we're coming back. Exodus chapter 29. We're coming back to, we're coming back to this story right here, but I want to read Exodus 29 verses 10 through 14, you know, about what Elijah is fixing to do here. Exodus 29 verse 10. And here's what he said. He said, and thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bullock, and thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord, you know, by the door and so forth, of the congregation. And thou shalt take the blood of the bullock and put it on the horns of the altar, you know, with thy finger, and pour out the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat and so on, and all the kidneys that are on the fire, and burn them upon the altar. The flesh, the skin, the dung, all of it shalt thou burn, you know, and so forth. Say, it is a sin offering. So there's different kinds of you know, animals that they use for different kinds of offerings. The bullock was a sin offering. So, Elijah, you know, he knew that the people had sinned before the Lord and so forth. So he called for two bullocks, you know. And well, let's see if your gods, you know, will accept anything on this sacrifice, see if you can do anything about it, you know. But I'm going to make a sacrifice, you know, for the sins of the people here, you know, today. And I'm going to see if we can turn their hearts back to God. So let's go back to this story in 1 Kings chapter 18. So we're back to this story in 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, Elijah, he told them, bring, you know, give these guys one bullock, let them dress it, and I'll take the other bullock and I'll dress it. Now, verse 24. And so he turned to the prophets when they all gathered, 450 of them, you know, and they had even some cheerleaders, another 400, you know, that ate at the Jezebel's table and so forth, you know. So, you know, probably about 850 altogether. And he said to them, he said, look, call ye on the name of your gods. Now notice gods, little g and plural s. Call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Now, so there is the Lord. So Elijah is in the Lord's camp. And all these others are in the camps of these so-called gods. So Elijah said, well, call upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Praise God. Now you say, God is going to answer by fire? Why, absolutely. Because Elijah, he already stood in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Well, the Lord already, he already knew, you know, what the Lord could do, you know. And so when he put out this challenge, and everybody said, well, you know, that is well spoken, that's good, you know, we'll see, you know, I mean, whichever God answers by fire, and you know that means their sacrifice, you know, accepted and so forth, you know, well, you know, that's the God that we're going to serve, you know. So Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, verse 25, why don't you choose one of the bullocks first, anyone you want, and dress it, because you are many and your gods are many, you know. And you know, but put no fire under it, you know. So they gave them one bullock, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal. Now notice, they started in the morning, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. So they were there calling, oh Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped on the altar that was made. They jumped up and down. They called on the names of their gods. And it came to pass at noon. Well, so, you know, they've been going at it for several hours, from morning till noon. Maybe 3 hours there. They've been going at it, you know. And Elijah, he's just relaxing. And so he came at noon and he said to them, look, you know, he mocked them, the Bible says, you know, and God has a sense of humor, don't you think? He said, Elijah said, he mocked them, you know, the Bible says, and he said, cry aloud, because he's a God after all. Maybe he's talking on the phone or whatever, I don't know what he's doing, you know, maybe he's somewhere, you know, pursuing some of his enemies, or he's doing something else, you know, maybe he's on a journey and so forth, or maybe he's even taking a nap, you know, and he needs to be woken up. You know, so why don't you cry aloud? He's a God after all. And let's see what he would do. And so he mocked them, you know, and they responded. They cried some more, the Bible says. And they cut themselves with knives and all kinds of things until the blood gushed out upon them. You know. And I just said, oh my goodness, what a sight. You know. And they went at it from morning till noon. And then they went at it from noon until the time of the evening sacrifice. I mean, that's a long time. Yes. Like 6 more hours they went at it. You know. And then, and it came to pass when midday was past. You know, they prophesied from the time of the offering of, you know, to the evening sacrifice. And yet there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Oh, yes. And Elijah said unto all the people, now, come near unto me. Hallelujah, somebody. Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And the first thing he did, and that's where my message is at this morning. The first thing he did, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. God cannot show up when the altar is broken down.
Yes.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And we are now getting to the message. You know, he repaired the altar of the Lord. Elijah didn't just come. Some people think Elijah just came. I want to show you all the things that Elijah did. Seven different things that he did here this morning. Before God can show up in that fire.
Yes.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, some people think Elijah just walked in there and just, you know, did something and then fire. Oh, no. Oh, no. God has a pattern. You know, and God knows what he's doing. And when that altar is broken down, God cannot do anything with you. See, when that altar of prayer is broken down in your life, when that altar of worship is broken down even in your family, and you think, well, gee, you know, I'm having all these problems, and so should I show? Because the altar is broken down. You need to fix that altar. You need to repair that altar. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. The altar of a prayer. Now, if you are a household head of a household, that means, you know, either you are a single mother living with kids, or you are a husband living with wife or kids, or whatever it is, or even you are a single person, you are the head of that house, you know, you need to maintain that altar.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It is your responsibility to make sure that order, you know, that altar is in order. Praise God. You know, so this was broken down for years because they didn't serve the Lord. They went and served other gods. So the first thing that he did was he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And how is he going to repair it? Now let's take a look at how he repaired it. Let's look at the things that he did. What are the things that he's going to do to repair the altar? You know, he took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Now, there's a message, even in that I don't have time to go into this morning. There is a message from Jacob to Israel. Hallelujah. You know, Jacob, of course, you know, was what he was, you know, before he met the Lord. You know, and after he met the Lord, you know, and, you know, he had this contest with the angel of the Lord all night long. You know, and so forth like that, and he prevailed. See, God gave him the grace to prevail. You know, and finally he said, well, your name shall be Israel, because as a prince you have power with God. You know, and so forth. You know, so he, and I'm going to talk about that power with God this morning. Praise God. You know, he said, oh, your name shall be Israel, no more Jacob, because you have wrestled with God and you've prevailed as a prince. So he changed his name. So he took those stones, one for each of the tribes. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
He wasn't just building some altar, you know, he was doing it in the name of the Lord. So that's the next thing that he did. And then he made a trench. He dug a trench around the altar. And that trench would be so great that it would contain about 2 measures of seed. You know, he dug it deep. Now, so that's the other thing he did. I'm going to talk about some of these things in a minute. And then he put the wood in order. And he cut the bullock in pieces. That's the other thing he did. And he laid him on the wood. You know, so we've seen repairing the altar, and these are all the things that he's doing. You know, and we've seen the stones, we've seen the trench, and we see, you know, the wood, and so forth like that. Let's keep the bullet for a minute, you know, and so forth, and we'll come back for that. And then now he says, fill 4 barrels with water. I put it on the burnt sacrifice. So he's saying burnt sacrifice. Well, he's not burnt yet. But Elijah already knows. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Put it on the burnt sacrifice. He's already predicting it. You know, there's no fire yet. Put it on the burnt sacrifice. And on the wood, you know, so they put it on and so forth. And he said, do it a second time. So that's 8 barrels now. And do it a third time. So that's 12 barrels now. And somebody say hallelujah. God doesn't just play with numbers. He knows exactly what he's doing here. You know, so, you know, of course, he wanted to make sure that everything was drenched, soaked in the water. But he used the number 4, 3 times. That's 12. You know, that's kind of like the 12 stones. And so, you know, There's a lot of significance to these things. I don't have time to go into all of it this morning because I want to bring out something very important. But he put the wood in order, and now he put the bullock on the altar. See, and so forth like that. So let's look at some of these things that he did. Now, the altar we already talked about. Repairing the altar of the Lord. Oh, yes. Now, that's a place of prayer. That's a secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under his shadow. Praise God. You know, so make sure that altar is not broken down. And if it is, you need to repair it this morning. Praise God. And then, of course, he's got the stones to represent, you know, the, and you know, the Bible says that even in the holy city, you know, the upon the foundation, the 12 stones, the names of the stones, the 12 tribes, and so forth like that. You know, so there's a foundation that he laid there. And that's like return to the original pattern. Return to the word, return to the things. Get away from the ways of the world. I come back to the way that God wants things to be done. And then he put the wood, you know, hallelujah. Now there are some things that need to be burnt. Praise God. The Bible says those things that are wood and stubble and hay and so forth that need to be burnt. You know, so there are some things in our life that the fire of God must consume. That's the flesh. The works of the flesh. Amen. The works of the carnal man. The Bible says put off concerning the old man, all these things, you know, the works of the flesh, you know, the lying, the gossip, the backbiting and so forth, the fornication, the adultery. Put off all these things and so forth. And then put on the new man. Hallelujah. Which is created after Christ. You know. So God needs to purge and burn off, you know, some of these things and so forth like that, you know. And all this dead wood and dead weight and so forth needs to be burnt off along with the sacrifice. And the Bible says, you know, the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, you know, it says that you should present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. I beseech you, therefore, Romans 12 and verse 1, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. So your body is that living sacrifice. Present it unto the Lord. So Elijah, he got all these things ready, and he put everything in place. And let's go back to 1 Kings 18. You know, so, and meanwhile, you know, everybody is looking. You know, so, and as I said to you last week, before Elijah, he got to this point, you know, there's something that he did too. You know, there's something that he did to make sure that he drew attention and got the attention of the people. You know, you have to read between the lines, you know. But while he was there, while he was making fun of them and so forth like that, you know, yeah, he probably was, you know, just like, well, you know, how long is it going to take? You know, you guys need more time? And, you know, they went up and down and so forth. Well, you know, so finally he said to them, are you guys done? Are you done? And then they couldn't answer him a word, you know. And he said, all right, well, I'm going to show you here, you know, how to do this. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. And then when he did, let's look at the prayer that he prayed. Praise God. You know, let's look at the prayer that Elijah prayed. Because some people think that Elijah just called for fire and so forth like that. No, let's look at the prayer that he prayed. Now remember, you know, what God, the challenge that Elijah threw out. The God that answered by fire, let him be God. Now, let's see in verse 37, the prayer that he prayed. Well, let me go back before we pray. Let's go back to 34. After he put the wood in order and cut all the things in place, he filled the barrels with water, and he told them, do it a second time, and do it a third time, and so forth. And the water ran round about the altar. That's in verse 35. Oh, yes. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said in the ears of all the people, make sure everybody was listening, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Now, he didn't call him Jacob. Oh, no. God of Israel. Praise God. Because he changed him now. You know, Jacob was when he didn't know the Lord. You know, Israel is who he's dealing with now. Oh God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. He said to them, you know, in the days, in the years of all the people, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. See, the Lord already told him what to do. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God that has turned their heart back again. Oh my. Now Elijah, he already saw the future. See? And he's already saying that God is going to turn their hearts back. You know, that God's already done it. Praise God. He's already calling the things that are not yet as though they are. He says, let them know today that you are the God that has torn their hearts back. Oh yes. You know, and that's why he brought the bullock for a sin offering. You know, a sin offering. And if the Lord is going to be merciful to these people today, he's going to come down and consume that sacrifice, and that means he accepted it, and he, you know, that's going to, he's going to turn their hearts back. It's going to take away that, you know, that sin from them, the evil sin that they went and departed from the Lord. So Elijah, when he said that, then the fire of the Lord fell. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And he consumed the burnt sacrifice. Now notice. And the wood. And the stones. Now, God didn't leave anything behind. Oh my. Consumed the stones. Licked up the dust. Licked up the water that was in the trench. The fire of the Lord fell. Fire on the mountain. Oh my. Praise God. Oh my. When we were little kids, we used to sing that song, Fire on the Mountain. Oh yeah. You know, the fire of the Lord fell. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, Yahweh is Elohim. Woo! Give a lot of praise for that. Hallelujah. Yes. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And they kept saying, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, because they've never seen anything quite like it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's review the things that Elijah did. You know, before the fire of the Lord could fall, he had to repair that altar. That's probably the most significant thing that he did. But there are many significances there of all of the things and so forth. You know, even prophetic into the future of the things. Even the fire that fell. Hallelujah. Even on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said the fire, you know, fell unto them as like cloven tongues of fire. Praise God. You know, and there was an exchange right there. There's always an exchange. Praise God. When that fire falls, there's always an exchange. You know, you present the sacrifice and then he brings the fire. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. Praise God. And when they presented themselves, the Bible says, you know, in the book of Acts, they presented themselves before the Lord and they stood many days waiting for the promise. Then the fire of the Lord fell. You know, and so forth. And he's asking us this morning, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Repair the altar of the Lord and see if the fire of the Lord will fall again. Now Elijah, he says to the people, now take the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape. And they took them and Elijah brought them down to the brook and he slew them all. Amen. I don't know how he did it, you know, but with the help of the people and so forth, he got rid of all of them. Now this Elijah, you know, if you don't think that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him sometimes to do some mighty things, then you don't know him very well. You know, because this Elijah, he outran the chariot of Ahab. Oh yes. You go back to the previous chapter and read it. You know, when he told Ahab to get you up, you know, and so forth like that. You know, actually, it's actually here in this very chapter here, the last two verses, you know. After he did all of these things, and then he went and prayed for the rain to come, you know, it's right here. And it came to pass in the meantime, verse 45, when the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and he had rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. See, and he gathered up his loins and ran, outran the chariot. See, now Ahab was riding chariots. Elijah ran on foot. Ahab got a head start, and Elijah outran him. How many of you say amen? Oh yeah, that's what the Holy Ghost, the power of the Lord will do to you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh yeah, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. When they run, Oh yeah. They're not going to faint. When they walk up, they're not going to be weary. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now Elijah, after all of this, he went up and prayed for that rain that the Lord had promised. Now sometimes, you know, when the Lord has promised you something, you still have to believe the Lord and lay hold on him to get that promise to come through. Sometimes there's still a travail. Even though the Lord sent him, said, I'm going to bring rain, you know, and all of that, and still there was no rain. And after Elijah did all those wonderful things, there still was no rain. But listen to what Elijah said in verse 41. And Elijah said unto him, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, there wasn't any rain at all. But Elijah is calling the things that are not as though they are. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Elijah is calling because he's already heard in the Spirit of God. He's already heard, you know, the abundance of rain coming. And he said, there is a sound of the abundance of rain. You know, and everybody said, I don't see any rain, you know. And so Ahab went up to eat, you know, because, you know, there had been famine in the land for 3 years plus. And Elijah, he went, see, Ahab, you know, went to eat and drink. But Elijah, oh yeah, he went up to Carmel to seek the presence of the Lord. He's going to travail until there's a breakthrough for the promise of God. Now, there are some of you in here this morning that God has promised something either by the written word of God or by his spoken word to you. But you think that you're just going to sit still and the promise will just come. Well, the devil, he's going to fight it. Now somebody say amen. Oh yeah, even God, he showed us in the story of Daniel. You know, from the day that Daniel began to pray and to seek the Lord to understand some things from the Lord, the Bible says that the answer was dispatched. But it took 21 days because the prince and the princes of Persia and the princes of Ea, they withstood the angel that was bringing the answer to Daniel. But the whole time Daniel didn't know it, but he continued praying, but he didn't give up. Amen. You know, so when you're waiting for that promise, you need to continue to pray for a breakthrough. Even if God has given promise, you still have to pray for a breakthrough. Now Jesus, when he went to the cross, see, he already knew by the word of the Lord that he was coming out of that grave. In fact, he was prophesying it to himself all the time and declaring it, you know, in advance. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, he said, you know, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Oh my. Oh, praise God. And he knew all of that and so forth. And the word of the Lord already said, you know, my body will thou not live in corruption and so forth like that. You know, so he already knew all of that. He knew what was going on in the spirit, but yet he went to pray. See, and he went to pray. And when he was praying, the Bible says he agonized in prayer until blood was coming out of his forehead. You know, and he fought that battle and he got that prize. And that's the reason you are sitting here today. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, when God promises that sound of abundance of rain, we still have to pray. For that abundance of rain to come, we must repair the altar of the Lord that is broken down. Oh yeah, you've got to go back to the place. Go back to your first love, saith the Lord. That's right. You know, some of you, when you first received the Lord, or first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are on fire for God. No, nobody could tell you nothing because you are on fire for God. Praise God. You believe the word of the Lord and you are on fire. You did exploits. You know. And then little by little, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms and so forth like that. The next thing you know, the fire of the Lord begins to, you know, just fade away. But the Bible says the fire shall be a perpetual fire. He said, let it be burning perpetually. Hallelujah. So we've got to repair the altar of the Lord this morning. Now I hear a sound of abundance of rain. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. Oh my. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Hallelujah. But we must repair the altar of the Lord for the fire of God to fall. The fire will fall and then there will be the sound of abundance of rain. A rushing mighty wind is coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, before I close this message, I want to challenge you this morning. Can your prayer make God do this? Amen? Can you pray and let God answer with fire from heaven? That's the challenge this morning. Now let's see a couple of people that did it beyond, besides Elijah in the Bible. Well, I have time for only one. You know, and you know this guy, he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible besides Jesus. His name is David. Praise God. Anybody know the story of David? Praise God. Well, let me read to you 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 26. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 26. And David built an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Now this was, of course, you know, after the Lord, he decided that he was going to punish, David and so forth because of, you know, David numbering Israel and so on. And he sent, you know, gave David, you know, different options. Anyway, he sent the destroyer and so forth like that. And finally, you know, the David, he began to seek the Lord because he said, well, I know God is a merciful God. You know, so he began to seek the Lord, and then he made sacrifice. See, the Bible says he put upon, you know, David built there an altar unto the Lord. So again, you know, bringing back that altar, you see. He built the altar of the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the name of the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire. And somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Oh, God answered him from heaven by fire.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Upon the altar of the burnt sacrifice. Now let me read it to you, an expanded version of David's own testimony of how God answers him from by fire from heaven. Turn with me to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And then that's my challenge to you this morning. Now we already know that God answered by fire, but can your prayer make God answer by fire? Praise God. Psalm 18 and verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. And my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. He is my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Is that your testimony in here, somebody? Let me hear you if he has your testimony in here this morning. Is the Lord your high tower? Is he your strength and your buckler and your shield? Give the Lord a praise here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now, he's going to give a testimony of how the Lord has answered him. He said, when the sorrows of death compassed me, when the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, when the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death all around me. Oh my. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. And I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his holy temple. And my cry came before him, even his ears. Now, listen to what God did because of David's prayer. Listen how David's prayer moved God into action. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills were moved. And they were shaken because God was wrath. God was standing up on behalf of David. Can somebody say amen? Can your prayer do this? Do you have this kind of power with God? There went out a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth blasted out because of David's prayer. But David said, I prayed, and coals were kindled by the fire that came out of God's mouth in answer to my prayer. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, if you can only grasp the depth of this. Can you pray with a voice? Can you cry unto God and make God stand up? Can you do it? Can your God send fire from heaven and make up the sacrifice on your altar? Do you even have an altar? Can your prayer reach out to God and make him stand up and blast with his nostrils over your enemies? Can you do it? Praise God. Oh yes. He bowed the heavens and came down. Woo! At the prayer of David. Now, it wasn't just prayer. David knew how to work that praise. Hallelujah, somebody. David, he knew how to work that praise. Oh yes. See how he started? He said, the Lord is my defense. The Lord is my high tower. The Lord is my shield, my rock, and my fortress. Now, when you say all those things to God, oh yeah, oh my. He'll be everything that you think he can be to you. And even more. Praise God. If you say the Lord is my healer, then he'll rise up and heal you. Can somebody say amen? He bowed the heavens, he came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub, and oh my, he did fly, yea, and he flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness a secret place, and pavilion around him, waters and thick clouds of the sky, and the brightness that was before him, thick clouds. The Lord also thundered. Oh, can you make God send forth thunderings by your prayer? The Lord thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot his lightnings and thus confuted them. Oh my. You ever heard of lightnings and thunderings? You ever seen, anybody ever seen lightnings and thunderings? Oh yeah, during those storms and so forth. Oh yeah, the Lord, he can do that too. One day, you know, I was out on a walk, and the Spirit of the Lord, he told me, he said, when you see the lightning flashing, it is God sending his word through the heavens slashing. He said, when you hear the thunder's roll, it is God in the heavens going for a stroll. How many of you say praise the Lord? Oh yes, sir. Next time you hear the thunder's roll, maybe it's God going on a stroll. Next time you see the lightning flashing, maybe it's his word that's slashing through the heavens, sir. But can your prayer make it do that? Maybe it's somebody's prayer that's causing God to do those things. Can you make God send his arrows and scatter them? Can you make God send channels of waters, you know, and so forth? Can you make God make the foundations of the earth to be discovered? You know, the Bible says the foundations of the earth were discovered at your rebuke. Oh my. At the breath of your nostrils. He sent from above. He took me and drew me out of many waters. In case you didn't know that that was because of all of his prayers, he put that in there. Praise God. Oh yeah. If God did all of that to pull him out. Praise God. But the first thing he knew how to do, he said, you know, as we read it in Chronicles 21, he built an altar. He repaired that altar. Praise God. He delivered me from my strong enemy.
Yes.
Now some of you, your strong enemy this morning may be sin. It may be financial situation, crisis, homelessness, whatever it is. You know, God is able to deliver you from your strong enemy. Oh yes, sir. He delivered me also from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. He said they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
He brought me forth also unto a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Oh, can somebody say, the Lord delights in me? Oh yeah, but does he delight in you? Do you delight in the Lord, like we read last week? In the book of Job 21 and so forth. I mean, Job, you know, in there. Do you? See? Do you make your delight in the Lord? And so forth. Do you delight in the Lord? See, if you don't delight the Lord, yourself in the Lord, you know, the Lord cannot delight himself in you. You know. But Job, you've got to repair that altar. You've got to come back to that place. That secret place. Where it's you, one-on-one. Hallelujah, somebody. And when you do all of that, when you return to the Almighty, even as we read last week in the book of Job, when you return to the Almighty, praise God. Job 22 and verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. And he said in verse 23, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. When you do all of these things, further down the line, he said, then you can decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. Then you can speak and pray and make your voice to be heard on high. And then you can make God stand up on your behalf and send fire down. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
The God that answered by fire. Oh, let him be my God. Hallelujah. Now, can you raise that kind of challenge today in this generation? Hallelujah. When Elijah went up in the chariot of fire, he took the mantle and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Well, you know, and I said, well, the Lord God of Elijah is here. He's already been here. He's always been here. But the problem is, and the question is, where are the Elijahs of God? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Oh yeah, the Lord God of Elijah is here. Oh, he's never left anywhere. You know, he's always been here. Praise God. But are there any Elijahs that can stand up and challenge this generation? You young people, can you stand up and challenge? You know, Elijah, he stood up because, of course, he already been in the presence of God. And he stood up and he challenged his generation. He went up against 450 prophets. I mean, that's 450. All of them saying one thing, and Elijah says it's something totally different. Amen. Praise God. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there have been many that rush into it. But narrow and straight is the way that leads to life. And few be there that find it. Can you stand up against this generation and say, I'm going to show you that there is a living God. And I'm going to show you that I'm his child. Can you do it? Can you pray with a prayer that will make God to answer for heaven? Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is a challenge for us today. Can you make God answer from heaven with fire? Or when you pray, there is no voice and there is no movement like those 450 prophets pray? Are you that kind of person that prays to an unknown God? You know, they were praying, they didn't even know the God that they saw. Because of course it was God that couldn't hear the work of their own hands. Something they created by themselves. They were praying to God. How foolish. You know. But there was no voice because those kinds of gods of wood and so forth cannot say. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, I am God alone and there is none else. Declaring the end from the beginning. Saying from ancient times, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. He said, I am God, and beside me there is no Savior. And Jesus, he came and told them in John chapter 8 and verse 24, except you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Hallelujah. Oh, he said, I am he that liveth and believeth, and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And now I have the keys of hell and death. Praise God. Can you call unto God this morning with a voice that will make him answer back with fire? Well, what you got to do first is repair the altar of the Lord. Praise God. The Spirit of God is here calling this morning and said, you know, God is seeking those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. The true worshipers. Are there any worshipers in the house this morning? Hallelujah. Now, if that altar is broken down, used to be a time in the past, you know, that the Spirit of God woke you up in the middle of the night and you spent time in prayer, agonizing in prayer and traveling in prayer. Oh, time goes by and these days you don't even hear his voice anymore. See, these days you rush out in the morning, you don't have time for prayer. You don't have time for God anymore because, oh, I got to go to work, I got to do this and I got to do that and so forth like that. You've got to return to the Almighty. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. And if you repair the altar of the Lord in here this morning, then the Lord is going to answer you from heaven. Can somebody say amen? And you need to put all those dead things, all the dead wood and so forth, all the things of the flesh, you need to put them on the wood, as wood this morning for the fire. Praise God. You need to give it up for the Lord. Hallelujah. Whosoever, see, the Bible says, hideth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsaketh his own ways, he shall have mercy. If you bring all those old things like wood and put them on the altar this morning, hallelujah. And if you cover it with a word, soak yourself, it's like the water. Say the washing of water by the word. You've got to get back to that word. Hallelujah. And get back to the foundation that God said. The apostolic foundation. The Bible says, built upon the foundation of the apostles. Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. If you will repair your altar this morning, then you can begin to call upon the Lord. And then he will answer you. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will answer you in the secret place of thunder. Oh yes. Can you cry unto God with a voice? Lift up your hands this morning and begin to pray. I want to hear people calling upon the name of the Lord this morning. The Bible says Elijah called upon the name of the Lord. And he said, hear me, O God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pray this morning and ask God to give you the grace to repair the altar that is broken down. Now, if you are head of a household here this morning, if you are, you know, in your family, but there is no prayer altar, you're not taking, you know, charge to make sure your family comes to that prayer altar every morning. You're not taking charge, you know, and so forth. Even in your life, you may even be single and so forth, you know. It doesn't matter. You've got to come to that altar. You have to go back to that altar and lay down the flesh. Hallelujah. Our God is a consuming fire. Oh, he can consume away all those dead wood. Hallelujah. And then you put the fire of the Lord in your life. You know, praise God. John the Baptist, he said, behold, I baptize you with water. But as one that is coming after me that is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to untie, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah, somebody. And when that fire falls into your life, when the Lord sends that fire, then you are ready for an abundance of rain. Praise God. Now, as a church this morning, I want us to lift our hands. Everybody in this place, and let's pray for the fire of the Lord. As we repair the altar, let's pray in our lives that God will send that fire. Burn away the things that don't please the Lord. Let's present our bodies a living sacrifice. And let's ask him this morning to bless us. He said, as a refiner's fire shall he purify the sons of the kingdom. As silver is refined and as gold is refined, shall God purify the sons of the kingdom with the fire of the Lord. Send that fire this morning. Send the fire this morning, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I hear an abundance of rain. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. The God that has read by fire, he shall be my God. Lord, you are the one that is able to answer by fire. And we choose you. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, let us serve him. But no man can serve two masters. If you are going to serve your job, yeah, and so forth like that, well then so be it. You know, but you cannot serve your job. You cannot serve, you know, running after the things of the world. If any man love this world, the Bible says in 1 John 2 and 15, if any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You cannot have the world and have the Father. But if you want the Father this morning, if you want to choose him as your chief joy, just lift up your hands and say, I surrender all to you, Lord. I want that fire in my life to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And let me be a living sacrifice. Let me be a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. And Lord, may it please you this morning. I want people to pray this prayer with me. May it please you this morning. Say to the Lord, may it please you this morning that you may choose me to show through me your power unto this generation. Hallelujah. Elijah was chosen by God to show his power to that generation. May the Lord have favor and may the Lord delight in you to choose you to show his power through this generation. But before he can do that, you must stand in his presence. You must be in that altar every day like Elijah was. And he stood in the presence of the Lord and he repaired the altar. We thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.